approach the microphones very carefully. Nobody get too excited. Nobody speak too loudly. Nobody say anything. Tim can't even be heard. Hello, Tim.
How are you?
Okay, there, okay.
There we go.
Fantastic, excellent.
That's as good as it gets.
All right, there you go. Everybody spoke and nothing caught on fire. I'm going to put that. One's going to be in the win column for today. All right. Hello, it's 52 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, way in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along. It is, I don't even know what the hell day it is. Is it Tuesday? No,
Wednesday.
It was Tuesday yesterday.
I don't need, it's Wednesday?
Tim?
Today is Wednesday.
Thank you, there you go.
January 3rd, 2007.
The news department of CBS Radio, Portland, hard at work. It is Wednesday.
Apparently.
And welcome to day 12. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Phone number is 503-733-2970. If your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. Or rick@rickemerson.com. We started approaching the microphones every morning now as though they're armed with some sort of explosive device. Because we're never really sure whether everything's going to be really loud, everything's going to be really crackly, everything's going to be really staticky, everything's going to be turned off, nothing's going to work, it's going to be too loud, it's going to be too quiet. Nobody's... And I don't... The really bizarre thing is I can count on less than one hand the number of people that even use this studio who aren't us. I mean, there's just us in the gymnasium. That's pretty much it.
And the fuel show.
And the fuel show.
Yeah.
That would explain a whole lot, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like suddenly it's all coming into stark relief. Suddenly everything is oh so clear. Spirit of... That also... It would explain why Scotty J suddenly has the urge to have facial hair and wear a lot of big dog clothing around. Pretty soon he'll be showing up with a skull ring and a succession of Oregon duck hats. Anywho. Hello there.
Thank you.
Yes, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Or rick@rickemerson.com, which is your, the email, address. Hello, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for coming by. I've got, I'll just, before we even talk to Aaron in a few minutes here, where am I at? One from yesterday?
One.
Fantastic.
You've lucked out, though, because toward the end of the week, we kind of forget. So you haven't really had to do any push-ups in, what, months?
Well, you know, and I feel it was appropriate. I haven't even really mentioned this, but I feel it was appropriate that we just discarded all the push-ups from 2006 and just started anew with a clean slate. Tim and I didn't bring this up on the air yesterday, but we're actually starting from scratch on all of our news. There's a lot of stories now that I couldn't get to if I tried. Because at some point between the Wednesday when we did our last show before the break, which had been Wednesday, like whatever it is, the 21st or whatever the hell it was, that Wednesday the 21st, between then and the day we came back, which is January 2nd, someone just went in to our prep area and just threw away all of our material.
Yeah.
They just threw it away. It's gone. It's not like it's in the recycle bin. It's not like it's in the trash. And I looked, by the way. Lee Holloway style. I was down on my knees looking for trash, trying to find... And that's an embarrassing place to find yourself when you're actually looking for a radio station trash can. Trying to find something that has been thrown away. And I don't know who... Maybe they were thinking they were going to recycle. Maybe they thought it was just the useless PSA. Maybe it was the divine hand of Providence coming down and deciding to reset the news tote for us. Which is, we used to have this this ritual that we would go through at the end of every year anyway, though, where we would get rid of all of the news that we hadn't gotten to. And we would have this sort of ritualistic burning out back, where we would just discard all of the stories not gotten to. And that was done for us this year. I just came in on Monday, and it was all gone.
I saw the big red sign on that, throw anything away.
I put a big-ass sign there, that don't throw this away, you bastards.
Who throws away papers that are obviously filed on a desk?
And that are filed and put it, and they're organized. They're put into categories, they're put inside, and it's not like they're just sitting on the floor. I know it's pointless to complain about this now, but I have no illusions that I'm going to figure out who did it either, because whoever did it probably knows by now, because there is a huge sign on bright orange paper now that says, leave this alone, don't touch it, don't throw it away. So whoever threw it away obviously knows now that they've made a mistake.
They feel tremendously guilty.
I'm under no illusions that I'm going to be finding out who did it. But it's not like it was something that could easily be confused with trash. It wasn't sitting on the floor. It wasn't sitting near a trash can. It wasn't sitting by the recycle bin. It was organized, stacked, filed, sorted, collated, and then put inside like a one of those accordion folder things, like a big Rolodexy kind of a thing. So I'd like to thank whoever that is. We're just starting from scratch. Hey, there's probably dozens and dozens of great stories that no one will ever hear now, but that's okay.
Don't worry about it.
It's 503-733-2977. Everything you hear today and going forward, we've got to, it's all brand new news. We've got a few recaps we're going to do, because this is sort of New Year's week, and we're kind of going on a short week anyway. It's only 4 days. So we have some things we're going to be doing to recap. But other than that, it's all brand new, baby. It's all from scratch. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
City, Durant, hello, sir.
Hey, is this going to happen every time?
Seriously?
I think it's your phone.
It's my phone, I guess.
No, not your phone. I think it's Aaron's phone.
Is it your...
You can't see my phone.
I think it can, young Aaron.
I just feel tired. All right, so when I just picked up the phone now, what happened?
I heard you.
Okay, and then were you speaking?
No. Well, when you said hello, how are you?
Right? Well, there you go.
I'm
problem solved. I believe we found the root of the difficulty. All right. So I picked up the phone and I said, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Did you then speak immediately or did you wait?
I wait like a second and I say hello because Vader's no goes on for a while.
Yes. I didn't hear the hello, though. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Seriously, I'm going to hang up right now. I want you to call us right back. Just call us back immediately. We're going to test this right here in real time.
I hate my life.
All right. Okay, thank you. Okay, call right back. There you go. That's Aaron. All right. For the love of God. Oh, Sarah, by the way, Scotty would like to know, you'll let you know that your mic is sounding a little hot. Just so you know.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty. All right. Now I'm just going to wait for the phone to ring because that's how ratings are made.
It's really compelling.
All right, and there's the phone. All right, Scotty, please now pick that up and just put it directly on hold. Just make sure that it's Aaron. Put it on hold, and I'm going to answer it. All right. Let's now welcome Aaron Geek in the City, Duran.
Hello.
I love the tone of desperation in the voice. All right, well, it worked. Okay, it worked fine that time. You know, it doesn't matter. I keep saying it doesn't matter because we're going to be out of the studio in like 3 weeks. But, of course, by saying that, I just guarantee that it's not going to happen. By saying that we're going to be out of the studio and into the new studio, either like by the end of the January the month, I just guarantee that we're still going to be here in like November, that there's going to be something. There's going to be a fire, a typhoon, flood, locusts.
Yeah, you keep bragging about how great it's going to be. You're just asking for a format change.
No, it's true.
I know.
It really is. Well, no, I mean, the studio is going to be great for whoever ends up using it.
Yeah.
It may not be me. It may
it's
not be
us. Honey from here on out.
That's all I'm saying. It may be like Hector and Pepe. Hector and Pepe y la mañana.
It would be me and Rodriguez. The A and I show.
Fantastic. Okay, in any event, here's what we're going to get to today. We will be doing, as I said, a little bit of recap as we go through the week. We're going to be asking what the hell else happened while we were gone. We will have, and I think we have an early contender for worst story ever. And worst story of the year, certainly, and definitely worst story of the month. We'll get to that later. It's also, there was like 9 different cannibal watchers today. One of the cannibal watchers I have pulled, and I'll make sure to put it in a separate pile at some point later on so that we don't inadvertently get to it without the proper warnings. One of the cannibal watchers we pulled may, in fact, be the worst thing you've ever heard. It is fantastic, and it does come from Russia, where all the good news comes from. That's the thing. I said this thing a long time ago, which is this is one of the truest statements I've ever made, by the way, which is that America's biggest export is not really a product or a good or a service or a textile or an electronic. America's export is just culture. That's what we do. We make and we manufacture and we export culture to the rest of the world. You know, maybe, and Levi's. Yes, thank you, Scotty. You know, maybe people aren't happy about that, but you know what? It's what we're good at. It's what we're skilled at. It's what we've got experience at. It's what we do. Russia just exports horror to the rest of the world. That's all that Russia does now. What are your main exports in Russia? Vodka, illicit plutonium, and horrifying news stories. And that's it. Because every time you pick up the newspaper and there's some story from Russia, it's some guy that's had plutonium jammed into his spine when he wasn't looking. Some three-headed baby that they found on a riverbank near Chernobyl. Or this cannibalism story today, which really, even by the relatively high bar that is set by most of our cannibalism stories, is really just beyond the pale, and really even for Russia. So we'll get to that.
So they can't afford like heat or coal or anything. So they say the best way to cook their meat is to just nuke it.
Yes, fantastic. So anyway, so we got the worst story ever. A generation of kids grows up only knowing Tara Reid as the weird, misshapen woman who can't count. We will talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who rejoins us on today's program. Oh, and also Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be in later on today to scold me for ever buying a Toyota 4Runner in the first place. So there you go. And we'll update the status of Sarah Dillon's tainted automobile. So there you go. We got that. I meant to get the Indiana Jones news story yesterday. I didn't get to it yesterday. I may get to it today. But
I did read that over the break. I was very excited.
When you said it's a bunch of bupkis anyway, though, right? That it's a bunch of, you said it's a bunch of crap.
No, well, they said that they weren't doing it, but now they definitely are.
Yeah, but
they start filming in May.
Yeah, the script's been approved. Everyone's working on it. Harrison Ford's on board.
I read a timeline this morning about an Indiana Jones timeline, and they listed at least 19 different times in the past when George Lucas has given a firm date for when the movie was going to be released. And the dates were all like, it's kind of like Clyde giving firm dates about when the world's going to end. It's all like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, I which script has been approved.
Yeah, it's not the one where he's looking for a UFO, is it?
No, it's not going to be that one. Who knows? They've been quiet. As long as it's not that one, or the one where he's looking for the stupid Lot, like Noah's Ark, to prove God exists.
I heard there was one where he was looking for Atlantis, too.
That would be kind of cool.
That one was a comic, and it was really good.
All right. Well, so we got that.
What's terrifying is the fact that the script they shot down is the one written by M. Night Shyamalan and the guy who wrote Shawshank Redemption, because they weren't up to...
Frank Darabont, that's a great story, by the way, that I heard that the Lucas commissioned Frank Darabont, who did the Shawshank Redemption, he did the Green Mile, he did... You know, I mean, the Shawshank Redemption, which is, by some standards, the greatest motion picture of the last 50 years. And then George Lucas got the script, and Lucas's response was, well, I didn't really feel like it was up to snuff. Because George Lucas is all about the good script writing and the fantastic dialogue. He's all about believable characters, that George Lucas. All right.
As long as Short Round Ninja, I'll be happy.
What's that?
As long as they make Short Round and Ninja in the fourth one, I'll be happy.
Fantastic. No time for love, Dr. Jones. All right, there you go. And I'm at one push-up so far. We'll be getting that down to zero by the end of the day. So there you go. Fantastic. All right, your phone is... it's really not me. It really is you. Aaron, it's not me. It's you. I'm feeling smothered, and I think we have to take some time off from each other. That's Aaron Geek in the city of Durant. There you go. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, it's not just Sarah's mic that's hot. It's just Sarah that's hot. Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Excel. How you doing?
Good. I got the spray paint off my car.
I know that because Davey Neeples sent me an email this morning describing how he buffed the... Because you'd had a bit of a weekend, a bit of a New Year's Eve.
Man, oh man.
And then you woke up, drunk and besotted, and you went out and your car had been vandalized.
Yes.
And so Davey...
But it wasn't just vandalized, it was comically vandalized. It was huge.
It was like a huge... Well, you should post the picture.
Oh, yeah, I'll post the picture now.
Because you have a big white car which sort of screams for a big... By the way, your car is fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean it's like being beamed back to 1989.
It's enormous. I parked in the parking garage today, and I couldn't find a spot that it would fit in. It was so big.
It's so great. That Ford Taurus, the Ford Taurus had its... So you don't really remember this, but in its day, the Ford Taurus was considered a sleek, new... I mean, that was the pinnacle of the American automotive line. That was our technology at its absolute zenith, was the Ford Taurus. I mean, and they couldn't make those cars fast enough. I mean, the Ford Taurus.
Well, now they're not making them at all, are they?
No, they're done. They're done. They're hosed. They couldn't. Those things couldn't be rolled off the assembly line fast enough to meet the demand. It was like the Reliant K cars, same way. Where they would just. Everybody thought that was the second coming of Christ. Those cars. And you get into a Ford Taurus now, and they just feel. It's like driving a huge wet sponge. It's just so heavy. It's just so heavy and sluggish. It really is like you're trying to steer like a mass. It's like you're trying to drive one of your grandma's cars.
I know. I totally feel like I'm driving a bus every time I'm in that thing. And I won't drive it downtown because I can never find a parking spot I can fit in.
Totally. It's just going around corners, mowing down the stop
huge.
Sign.
Yeah. So, Davey, that was pretty fun, actually. Davey and Storm and I got to hang out. And Davey and I were trapped in, we were in his garage, but didn't have any windows or doors open. And I think we were getting a little loopy because we were using this chemical to get it off. But it all completely came off, and he put this really good wax stuff on it. So it looks better than it did before.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then I had a couple glasses of wine with them, and we talked about Rockstar Supernova.
Now, was she invited to the Vegas show that they played? I mean, just even like as a guest, did she opt not to go?
Oh, I'm sure that she was invited. She was actually talking to like some managers in LA and showed me some pictures of like Lucas and Delana and stuff.
Because Laura and I had toyed with the idea of going to Vegas either for New Year's or for Christmas because you know we were supposed to be going to Canada, and then the whole thing. And I guess now you're going to have to get a passport. January 23rd.
Canada and Mexico, unless you're a legal alien.
So because the thing I've realized is, and because I think we were going to be driving up to Canada, the thing I realized the last time I had to go through an airport, which is, what the hell, what did I fly for? When was the last thing,
Provo. Oh.
When I went to Provo. And I realized, not to get bogged down in the airport security thing, but I realized that the deal is that the airport security has just made me no longer enjoy traveling. That's the thing. That's the kind of, that's the real misery of the whole thing, is I used to enjoy traveling, and now I don't. So rather than flying to Canada, we were going to drive to Canada, and yeah, until, at the time, for another month, you don't need a passport. But you needed a birth certificate, and then it turned out I don't have a birth. And I have no idea where to even get a birth certificate.
You go to the city clerk's office of the city in which you were born.
But really?
Yes.
So I have to go.
They had those on file.
So I have
no,
to
you can email them or mail something
but
to them.
But see, that doesn't even make any sense.
They'll make it miserable for you.
if only because I have to go to Kennewick to get it. Really, you have to the contact the clerk in the place where you were born.
Right. That's where those things are on file.
You would think that the advantage of having this fascistic totalitarian Big Brother government is that you wouldn't have to leave your house to do any of those things anymore. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't it seem like if you need something for, like, if you need a governmental form at this point, you should just be able to look up in your living room and speak to the ceiling fan and, mm-hmm. Hello, CIA, I need a 1040 EZ for my, and it'll just come out of somebody will slide it under the door. That doesn't even make any sense, though, about their birth certificate, because what kind of logic is that I can't, that my identification issued to me by the state won't get me into Canada. I need my birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Yet if I don't have a birth certificate, I can get it by using my ID issued to me by the state. It's completely circular logic that makes no sense at all in any... I mean, I'm addressing the people in this room like anybody here understands it or can change it, but that doesn't make any goddamn sense at all. Well, whatever. Anyway, so we ended up going to Seattle, and I had a miserable... Lara had a great time. I was being a miserable, jerky husband.
How much fun can you have in Seattle? What is Seattle noted for?
Seattle.
Why would someone go there? You can see pictures of the Space Needle anywhere.
I went there because I wanted to experience a different type of rain. And boy,
it's Portland with more traffic.
It was just cold and drizzly and reeks of fish. I mean, that's pretty much the whole place. I mean, I like Seattle. I really do. But as I mentioned yesterday, she told me later that she confessed that she only took me to Seattle so I was physically incapable of coming to work. That was the whole thing. She just wanted to remove me far enough from the office that I couldn't come here. But so we go to Seattle, but we had to, the Kai Curiosity Show, but they got that mummy. But they have, they have all these flights to Vegas, and we had toyed with the idea of going to Vegas for Christmas. And then at the end, we didn't because that seemed like there was no middle ground there. It seemed like that would either be the greatest place to spend Christmas or the single most depressing Christmas of your life. It's just being around a craps table with some toothless woman yelling, "Hard eight!" and like throwing the dice while trying to drink down a free white Russian. And it just seemed like that might be a thing that just ends in a whole lot of drinking and suicide. So we opted to pass on that. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, the bionic woman's about to return to television. 300 items belonging to Whitney Houston are being auctioned off to pay the bill for her storage unit. And there are even stronger rumors today that Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz have broken up or are about to do so. Kymet, looking for the owner of a dog without tags, found joyriding alone on a bus.
That's a Disney movie in the making right there. That's what you need right there. Okay, fantastic. You just get some guy to whip up a script about a homeless little Muppet that discovers the dog, and then they solve a crime, and then they save a homeless man from dying, and then you go. And then Michael Eisner makes $1 billion. Done. Done and done. Let's see. Oh, this is Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to tell you, I just had to get a birth certificate a couple days ago for a similar thing. And there's a website you can go called VitaCheck or Vital Check, something like that.
Right.
$2. It's like $30. Or, I'm sorry, 2 days. It's about $30. I can get it from anywhere.
Now, if you go to this site, how do you prove that you're you?
Well, you have to write in your information, your county of birth, and all that kind of stuff. And then after you process the order with your credit card, which is also a way of identifying you, because you have to pay for it with a credit card, they send you some email where you're supposed to print and fax with a copy of your driver's license and fax it to them, and then, bam, they just FedEx it out.
See, and I don't mean to complain to you, because, again, clearly you're not like the Canadian.
Believe me, it's stupid and it sucks,
$30.
And I had to do it to go to Canada.
For your own identification?
That's what I'm saying, $30. Yeah, exactly. What kind of crap is that? $30.
You know, the thing is, they didn't even check
paper
when I went to Canada.
No, of course they don't. Because it's a complete scam. It's a complete revenue generator. That's all it is.
Just wave me right in, just like going to Mexico. Come on in. Come on.
Well, yeah, because what am I going to be smuggling into Canada? Really? I mean, what possible? I shouldn't say this, but I have a.
I don't know.
I have a deadbeat relative who's living, not my sister, by the way. I do have a deadbeat relative who somebody told me is living illegally in Canada. Authorities, don't come question me. I don't know where this relative is. I have no way of ascertaining their location, really. But
an old shaggy draft dodger from back when?
No. Somebody, this is one of my younger hippie relatives. Somebody told me, though, that this relative of mine is living off the government, teat, as it were, in Canada. But really, what is it you're going to, what would you possibly be smuggling into that country? Apparently, everything's legal there. You can buy drugs, you can buy whores. I mean, really, there's no reason. I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
a complete scam.
But don't worry about it. 2 days, $30. It's all yours.
Right. All right. Thank you, Steve.
No problem. Have a good day.
There you go. Genius. You're paying to get your own ID.
$30.
And all you need to get the ID is a credit card and a driver's license, which I would have had with me when I went to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to. Okay, never mind. Fine. We're not going to run too terribly long here, because we got Lisa Goddard. Our first discussion with Lisa Goddard of the new year coming up, bottom of the hour. We opted not to talk to Dick Giuliano today, because really, how much is there to say about Gerald Ford being dead?
It's all done.
I mean, he's dead. I didn't care about him when he was alive. I don't care about him now.
I mean, it wasn't like he was taunted like Saddam. So that's still a story.
They should have. That would have made it more interesting to us. Did you hear that they found the taunter, though?
Yeah. They've taken away his cell phone.
The taunter has been found. So we may yet have more Saddam news. As we'll get to that. Hey, speaking of surreptitiously taking photographs and so forth, did anybody watch Dirt last night, the Courtney Cox show?
No, I forgot. I'm sorry.
I watched a little bit of it. I just was skipping through the channels, watching like CSI and some of the stuff. It didn't grab me.
Really?
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
I was.
It'll fail now.
Well, yeah. If I watch something for 2 minutes, I like a lot of crap. And
your crap meter's pretty finely
tuned. Exactly. Like I watch. Yeah, all kinds of stupid things, and it did not keep my attention.
That's too bad, because FX is a pretty good track record. I can't remember the last time FX made a show that was just flat out bad.
Not flat out bad.
I guess their time was coming.
I bet they'll have a rerun today.
They had that Thief show with Andre Brower. That wasn't any good, but I don't know. Maybe it'll take a while to get its legs or something, but well, that's
It was just weird watching Courtney Cox try to be a badass.
Yeah.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, and she's aged badly, too. She's old. She's all just sharp angles and
points.
Yeah,
she's all kind of stretched out and pointy.
Yeah, no, it's... Seriously. This is Terry. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. We missed you really bad.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Listen, if you're going to go to all that hassle, you might as well just get a passport. You can get a passport picture at Office Depot taken, and you can go down to the post office and get a passport.
Well, that's good. I'm going to have to get one because I have to go to Italy this year.
Well, see, you might as well just get a passport. You save yourself so much aggravation and money. It costs about the same. And you can do it right here local. You don't have to be fooling around.
And then I can be one of those lame Americans that's got a passport with, like, one stamp in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because I went to Tijuana.
You have one from Canada.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll look like a real world traveler.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. All right. There you go.
Maybe you should get a passport. We're going to all need them, you know, to travel from the digression pretty soon anyway.
I'm just waiting for the chip. That's it, man. I don't care. I'm fully, I am.
You probably already have one.
This strange lump on my arm. I'm fully zen with the fact that man, they're just going to be injecting me, and that's going to be it. That's going to be the, and I won't have to pay for anything. You know, I just have to wave my hand over the sensor when I go to the supermarket. That's going to be it. I go into the vending machine in the kitchen, just wave my hand in front of it, and it'll spit out the milk duds or whatever. Speaking of which, by the way, and this is of interest to nobody except those people who work at CBS Radio Portland, and even then, it's only of interest to the people who work here in the Coin Tower. I should note that not only are we now out of dishes, but they've decided just to stock the kitchen with nothing but styrofoam at this point. Because over the holiday, now there you go with one. Now, I didn't think you could buy those anymore. I thought styrofoam cups and styrofoam dishes were illegal now.
Don't they kill something?
There's
some places they are.
People,
illegal.
Children, birds.
They're illegal in California.
The earth.
It just seems so dumb that...
We should tell people what happened.
We've been sitting here with a broken dishwasher for 3 months.
So everyone put their dirty styrofoam cups in the sink.
Everybody.
A billion-dollar company, broken dishwasher.
So the dishwasher was no good. And so people, what are you going to do? So people would just stick their dishes in the sink. Why? Because it's human nature. Nobody wants to wash anything. I'm not a janitor, so I'm not an intern, so I just put my crap in the sink. And so the CBS just started going through, and every morning somebody, and I don't know who it was, but every morning somebody would come in, and they would just go into the kitchen, and they would take, and I'm not talking about styrofoam dishes, somebody would just come in and they would...
Actual nice, like, Starbucks coffee mugs.
They just threw away the dishes every morning. So you would see, like, if I was here working late, I would see the janitor taking out the trash from the kitchen, and the poor janitor's having to lift it, it weighs like 80 pounds because it's full of like ceramic dishes that have been thrown out.
And there were two very good Tony Danza show mugs thrown away.
Yeah.
Classic collector's item.
In a landfill now.
And all those Delilah cups, too.
And so now the cupboards literally are bare. There are no dishes. There are no plates. There are no spoons, knives, forks.
But we do.
The fellow with the beard and the teddy bear is gone, too.
Oh, the chair bear?
Yeah.
But what do we do? What do we have now? A working dishwasher.
Yeah. So now we have a working dishwasher and nothing to wash. Because
I think it'll wash those styrofoam cups.
We should, seriously, I'm with Tim, we should totally just pile a styrofoam cups in the sink.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to start that movement right now. Because seriously, what am I, five?
I don't know. We'd have to see your birth certificate.
That's a callback right there. Bam. All right. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Lisa. That was really good.
That was pretty lame.
That was well done. That really was. Congratulations on that, Tim Riley.
I kind of feel bad for opening my mouth.
No. Don't you feel bad. Don't you go changing. All right, you stay there. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard from CNN later on. We got the Tim Riley experience coming your way with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Stay right there.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
You think you're really going to do it?
Totally. No, it's a great idea.
That is pretty brilliant.
All right. Hello there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Rick, this email says, by the way, you still need your birth certificate to get a passport. Ha, 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 ha. Fantastic. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up about 25 minutes, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we'll speak to Ed McCarthy and so forth. Returning now to the Rick Emerson program after our three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Let's welcome now from the Hill, CNN radio news mistress, Lisa Goddard. Hey, Lisa.
What is up, people? I've missed you. How are you?
How are y'all? How's life? How are things?
Good. Can't complain. Craziness up here at the Capitol. All kinds of news popping up.
It's, you know, I was mentioning this to Bob Costantini yesterday, who amazingly did not greet it with a huge chortle and belly laugh. I know that's hard to believe. I was noting, though, that I have this whole thing about when I'm on a plane, I stare out the window at the wing of the plane because I know that it is me that is holding the wing on. I know that it is my steely gaze that keeps the wing affixed to the plane during even the harshest of turbulence.
Sure.
And I know that it's us now being on the, I now know this, it is us being on the air that keeps celebrities alive. Because as soon as we took some time off, everybody dropped dead.
That's right, that's right.
I mean, celebrities, relatives, guys on the street, it's just, as soon as we decided to take any time off, suddenly the Reaper went into overdrive. So,
yeah, and this makes sense because it was the lack of a free press, apparently, which is keeping Castro alive.
Yes. That's, oh, wait, I wish I was armed. Hold on a second. That really is that really is fed. Now,
hey.
Just so we can get off, because it's been almost 3 weeks or 2 weeks since we got off subject. I mean, is the conventional wisdom that Fidel Castro is just he's just next to Walt Disney on ice somewhere right now?
Yeah, I don't know. There is the whole crew that thinks that he actually is in a Lenin-like state of just chemicals pulsing through his body. But there's others that, you know, there was a Spanish doctor who visited him in the last month and said, actually, he's doing okay. He's getting a little better. He's frail, but he's not on death's door. Who knows? The CIA says he's getting ready to die, but the CIA hasn't been all that accurate in the last 10 years.
Chemicals pulsing through his, but we also call that a Keith Richards-like state, just in case you're looking for another cultural illusion to use. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, I should tell you that actually we meant to wish you happy holidays and so forth, but we didn't. We kind of took some time off earlier than we had planned.
What happened?
Well, we had been on Wednesday, and I had kind of like a stomach bug that I came down with, and so we took a day off, and then we had a complete technical meltdown here at the station, at the studio, the equipment, everything just went absolutely and totally dead.
Oh.
And we couldn't have done a show if our lives depended on it. And then, of course, we headed into the next weekend. There's a bunch of people were gone and blah, 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 blah. So we ended up pulling the ripcord a couple days early. So we were not able to sort of bid everybody a fond adieu.
Technical difficulties excuse. I need to pull that out. It's good.
No, it's really, it absolutely is true. And people who know me know that I despise taking time off because I'm kind of a creature. I'm a slave to my Franklin planner and I'm a creature of habit and I'm really just lame. And
nice Franklin Planner reference, though.
It's true. No, I look.
It's like Trapper Keepers now, though. I feel bad saying that.
No, it's.
I mean, I honor the Franklin Planner.
The Franklin Planner is the peachy folder of the late 1990s. As somebody who lived in the shadow of the actual Franklin Covey building in Salt Lake City, that is ingrained in me forever. Oh. So, in any event, so I hope you had a happy end of the year and so forth.
It was a working weekend. Definitely a working weekend. But happy holidays to everyone over there as well.
And so you had all of this stuff to die, and everything has sort of just been pushed and delayed and whatever because of the Gerald Ford.
Right.
And then
Saddam. Remember Saddam happened on Friday. Now
Saddam.
Nobody cares anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was talking to Bob about this yesterday. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I mean, it's just surreal that the thing that was ostensibly the crux that was the whole alpha and omega for us going into Iraq, he now is just sort of this incidental footnote. That was the reason. He was the guy.
At best, he's a footnote. At worst, now this whole cell phone video is giving people a reason to be angry. People who are already angry about so many other things are using that as Sunnis, especially Saddam was a Sunni, are using this video now to be angry. And it is bizarre, though, this cell phone video that came out. I don't know how many people have seen it, if you've seen it, but I think what's interesting, actually, is the audio from it that you hear just before Saddam is hanged. You hear several of the guards in that very small room. It was kind of a strange room setup. It looked like it was sort of like the loading dock for some kind of grocery store,
right.
Only closing. It was strange. But you hear the guards yelling, Muqtada, Muqtada, a reference to Muqtada al-Sadr, that Shiite cleric who has been a problem and many people say is involved in death squads. Now, others say he's not. But obviously, it's an indication of how much power that cleric, it doesn't have any elected office, and is not, in fact, even the leading cleric necessarily for Shiite Islam in Iraq, but it shows how much power he has if the name being called out before Saddam was killed is the name of this cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr.
The whole thing is, and you're right when you said, I mean, as I said yesterday, I'm a big bleeding heart, and so everybody kind of knows my take on the death penalty, but at least in America, one can say that there is a certain clinical regimentation to it, where there's the priest and the warden, and then there's the witnesses behind the glass, and then there's a very structured sort of order to how it proceeds, usually, unless you're in Florida, in which case somebody usually catches on fire.
Right.
But this was just like, it really was like a bunch of guys from the Soprano crew just grabbing you. And as you said, he's taking you out to like a stockyard somewhere. Okay. I mean, it was really just disturbing and horrifying to watch. And the idea that it never occurred to them. Look, I can't go see like the new James Bond film without a guy coming in with night vision glasses to make sure that I'm not taping it. The idea that they never thought to pat everybody down when they came inside.
Isn't that amazing? I know. It really shows how on many levels disorganized things are in Iraq. Even as they try to do something kind of by the books with their judicial proceedings, just every last detail of it, there is something that is not organized, that is not really going according to anyone's plan.
Let me ask you this, and I know that we got other stuff to talk about, but I was just curious about this. Is it true that, because somebody mentioned this to me, is it true that Saddam was convicted of X, Y, and Z, but among the things he was convicted of was not killing 5,000 Kurds?
Right, that trial was still pending.
I'm sure everybody's happy about that. I'm sure they're really ecstatic about that. That he was never actually held accountable or convicted or even symbolically convicted.
You know, many of the Kurds are just happy to see him go. Of course, they would like to see that kind of justice proclaimed that he's guilty of those crimes. But I think many of the Kurds, he's guilty in their minds forever. And he was found guilty in this. He was hanged for the deaths of I think 130 people or so in the town of Dujail. There was an assassination attempt on him there. It failed, and very soon after that assassination attempt, amazingly, many people in that village were assassinated by Saddam's thugs.
Did you see your interview with the Iraqi prime minister, who was saying that he doesn't want the job, doesn't want to ever be put in that job again, and would quit now if he could?
Right, yes.
You don't really see that a lot from...
It's amazing.
The guy just has like a tag around his neck that's just like, please, help me.
Get me
out of here.
This is my only chance to do a bad segue here, but I have to bring you some sound from the Hill today. And as everybody knows, I'm busting into your rhyme here.
That's okay.
Okay?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This is we've got now this new Congress starting up, and we've had protesters on the Hill before, but I think you guys are going to love this cut. Rahm Emanuel, who is now an important person in the Democratic House because he helped them take over the leadership, and he's in the leadership now, they had their first press conference today, and they're standing there. He's starting to have this press conference, and listen to just how awkward this gets, that there were protesters watching. No one knew what they were going to do, but here's kind of how it went.
All right.
Financial interest at every step of the every. Okay, at every step.
And he just went on. He kept trying to get involved. There's a lot of other great cuts of him saying, that's what we're doing. But he just could never get back the news conference. And in the end, he just pulled out, and we're still waiting for that news conference to continue because the protesters would not stop.
I just, the joy of live events really cannot be overstated in my world. I mean, really, because as you said, it's just you never know what's going to happen. You know what Washington, D.C. is like? Washington, D.C. is like one live action, constantly ongoing role-playing game. And you just never know when some hideous disruptive force is going to lurch at you from around a corner.
It's true.
Wielding a gun or a placard or, whatever. So, hey,
it was great to see the Democrats sweating on this. I mean, they've really taken such pleasure in the Republicans having to face these anti-war protesters. And now all of a sudden, wait a minute.
And I saw that, I mean, wasn't it about now that George Bush was going to be unveiling whatever his secret, I'm sorry, his cunning plan?
Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday is my bet. Who knows? But that we don't have a date yet. But next week
there was that great Wall Street Journal column where the actual phrasing was President Bush calling for Democrats and Republicans to work together, which of course means calling for Democrats to work with Republicans.
Right, depends on who you ask, exactly. And already there's spin going on because the Democrats have this first 100 hours plan where they're going to pass these six big pieces of legislation. 9/11 stuff, minimum wage, or the student loans, all of that is in there, and that's going going to take the first 2 weeks, but first of all, the first 100 hours, Democrats are already monkeying with the clock. That clock, even though Congress starts its session tomorrow, they're saying the first 100 hours of legislative work, new laws, doesn't start till Tuesday, which is definitely questionable. That's their interpretation. But meanwhile, Republicans, who for so long had kind of made sure that Democrats had almost no way of bringing amendments to the floor and couldn't really put input on bills, now find that, wait a minute, the Democrats won't let us have input? They can't believe it. And Democrats, you know, who said for so long, we think the minority should have input, we think it's great, now they're saying, well, maybe not for the first 2 weeks.
That's fantastic. I love this country. Really, I do, with everything in me. Often for the same reasons that this country horrifies me. You know what the Democrats ought to do? Just off the books, off the record. They ought to just pay whatever it takes to retain Newt Gingrich as some sort of a consultant, because that was a guy who had a masterful grasp of how to shape and position the Congress and their mission for the public.
It's true. He really, and I think even now you hear, every now and then you'll get press releases from Newt Gingrich or from people associated with him, and you can tell he is just sitting at home being like,
yes.
You know, like just he's got the Risk board game with all the seats of Congress on it, and he's just moving pieces around. If only they would ask me.
That's fantastic. You get like 100 extra style points, by the way, for referencing the Risk game. as one completely off point side note here, I don't know if you've seen this movie or not yet, but the new Matt Damon film, The Good Shepherd. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it. I saw Rocky over the weekend, but I haven't seen Matt Damon.
What did you think of Rocky?
I liked it. Thumbs up.
Now, were you a fan of the original Rocky or any of the ensuing films?
Definitely a Rocky fan. Now, of course, there were the dips in the series.
Yes.
There were a couple of dips there.
No, it's true.
But I overall am a Rocky fan. And this one, you know, not, I wouldn't say it's the best one, but it's good.
No, it's just, here's the thing about Rocky Balboa. It is, first of all, it's not embarrassing, which is what I think a lot of people were afraid of, with such an iconic character that it would go out limping. Not an embarrassment, and I think a solid bookend.
Yes,
series.
I think exactly, precisely. Rocky V was just bad taste on my mouth. I'm glad we've moved past it.
Well, I'm impressed that you even saw Rocky V, by the way, because that makes you and like Sylvester Stallone's mom who saw it. So
right.
You got to see
Good Shepherd, though.
You what's that?
Good Shepherd.
You got to see The Good Shepherd. It's directed by Robert De Niro, and it's actually really good. It's only the second film he's ever directed. The first film he directed was called A Bronx Tale, which came out some years ago. But Matt Damon, Robert De Niro, Angelina Jolie, who I typically don't like, but it was great. Billy Crudup is in it. But it is a fictionalized telling of the creation and early days of the CIA.
Right.
And it starts in about 39, and it goes up until around the Bay of Pigs era.
No kidding.
And it examines the sort of political climate in America that results in the perceived need for and then the rise of the Central Intelligence Agency. And it does it all through the microcosm of one agent's life, and that agent is Matt Damon. And I'm not even going to say he's an anti-hero, because he's just, you'll have to see it to understand what I'm saying, but he's just a very, very morally ambiguous character. I compare it a lot to Al Pacino's character of Michael in the Godfather films. Just very, very sort of hard to get your mind around him moral-wise. It's a great film. It's long. It's like 3 hours, but it's very, very good. Produced by Francis Ford Coppola, by the way.
Oh, no kidding. That's great.
Yeah. So you got to check that out. I think you would like that quite a bit.
Did J. Edgar Hoover show up at all? Because I would love to know who plays him.
No. And really, I think the definitive
CIA, right?
The definitive J. Edgar Hoover was Bob Hoskins in Oliver Stone's JFK. So there you go. So I would absolutely suggest that you see that. So.
Okay. Done.
All right, Lisa Goddard. We will talk to you soon, sister. As always, I hope you. I'm glad you had a happy new year, and we will speak with you in the immediate future.
All right, back at you.
Thank you. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fantastic.
Ooh.
How you doing over there?
Good.
Do you just, when I start talking to Lisa, do you just take that as an opportunity to, like, start going through your mail and...
Well, I kind of zone out, because that's your
pizza.
Special time.
Yes. It's my special time.
It
indeed.
Is.
It's my own little 10-minute vacation. There you go. It's 503-733. I'm impressed that she saw Rocky V, by the way. That's one of those things that I know every guy in the audience, his ears perked up a little bit when he heard that she... Cause, look, I only saw Rocky V, like, by accident, because it was on Cinemax, or not even HBO, like Showtime, at like 4 in the morning some night. It's a terrible film. So the fact that a woman would see Rocky Five really is both great and terrible. So there you go. So there's that. I have some other point I was going to make in this segment, but I really, it's probably pointless. We should just break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth for the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we'll speak to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Dennis Pitsenbarger will be here to mock repeatedly my choice of automobiles. And we've got your phone calls, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid state radio. Don't go anywhere.
From a rebel, it's final. A black final soul. Rock and roll coming like a rhino. Table turned. Suckers burn to learn. They can't disable the power of my label. Death Jam tells you who I am. The enemy.